Do you know that feeling when everyone is talking about a movie that you haven't seen? Have you ever felt compelled to make some vague comments just so you can join in the conversation? Well, what if you were in too deep? Do you think you could convince everyone that you'd seen it? Or do you think your version would be so much better that no one would care? Here at Faking Movies, we're always the ones who haven't seen the movie.
Anything you can do better. I can do anything better than you.
No, you can't.
Yes, I can.
No, you can't.
Yes, I can.
No, you can't.
Yes, I can. Yes, I can.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to episode, 32 of Faking Movies.
Yep.
Zach is making me doubt myself on that, but
no, you're good.
Pretty sure we're on 32.
Yeah.
Well, you know, as always, this is Lee, and I'm joined by Zach. Hey, Zach.
Hey.
Yep, and also by Seth. Hey, Seth.
Hello, Lee! How are you today?
Oh, underwater Seth.
Yeah, I was going to say, this has to be some sort of character, but I don't know what character it is.
I'm the son of Mr. Limpet!
But I don't want to be a fish!
Oh, good
I'm gonna go fight some Nazis!
Starting off strong with jokes for nobody.
Yep. We also just spoiled the incredible Mr. Limpet, so there you go.
Shit. Oh, yeah. Well, Zach will have some bleeping to do.
Oh, sure enough. Couple too true there. Yeah.
And this week, we should get rolling here. We are joined by our good friend, Jana. Hey, Jana, how are you?
Hey, guys. What's up?
Oh, not much.
Yeah, not a whole lot.
Goofs as usual.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So before we get going here today, we just wanted to remind everybody, check out fakingmovies.com. There are sections and headers on it now, although they don't lead you anywhere, but yeah, they exist.
We're working on it. Websites are hard, as it turns out. So
yeah,
we're y'all
gonna
can
do like
go
one,
straight to hell.
One, yeah, also that we're gonna do like one thing a month until like by 2020 we might have like a somewhat functional website.
Yep,
should be right. Yeah,
but in the meantime, you should probably still go to it.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, yeah.
We gotta get them clicks up.
Yep.
Jana, what movie are you doing this week for us?
I have the movie The Prestige.
Ah, famous. A top 50? Top 25?
I don't know.
It's up there. It's up there.
It's, if you're talking about IMDb, it is in the top 50.
Yeah. Okay.
Jana, what actors did we give you?
Zach gave me, I forget the exact order, but he gave me David Bowie.
Well, good choice. Good starting off strong.
Intentionally first,
yeah,
yes.
Yeah. Sir Michael Caine, which I didn't realize was a sir, but looked it up.
Yep.
Is he? He might not be.
Oh, isn't he cool? Good for him.
I'm pretty sure he's knighted, but maybe I'm wrong.
He's old and British and famous, so
yeah.
Likely, yes.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, he's knighted. He sure is.
Sweet.
Christian Bale, Hugh Jackman, and Scarlett Johansson.
Oh, yeah. What a cast.
Yeah, those are many of the actors.
And he also said, and 100 other famous hitters. People that you don't need to worry about.
Yeah, seems about right. Yeah.
Okay.
So I didn't.
I kind of like some of the other major actors in this, but all right, we'll go with it.
Mm-hmm.
Gets complicated.
There are also, I will say, Jana, there's several like character actors that show up that I really enjoyed seeing. But I don't know how many people would care about them.
Well, blame Zach on that one.
It's probably good that we cap things off at the 5 mark or so.
Yeah, gets complicated.
Yeah.
Yep.
All right. Well, you want to just bust on in?
Yeah. So I literally know nothing about this movie.
Makes me feel good.
Mm-hmm. I set it vaguely 100 years in the future, and I made it. Because why not? A dystopian society with mainly two classes of people, a very rich and very poor class. And then there's also a kind of middle class of young women from the poor class that the elite class pulls into their world to kind of be like the working class servants for them, obviously.
Okay, sure.
Can I stop you right there and just let you know that you could take this pitch to Hollywood right now and get this movie made?
I was going to say, I can name like at least two TV shows that sounds vaguely like this right now that are wildly successful.
Okay, all right.
Turn it into YA series and you're golden.
Yeah,
oh, yeah, that's true. For sure.
Perfect, good.
All right, cool.
Go next. So in this society, there's a lottery every year for four people to prove themselves to try to make it into the prestige class. So you kind of get a free pass if you can pass these three tests.
Yep.
It's
like Ronald Reagan. I hope Ronald Reagan had to pass these tests.
He wasn't one of my characters. I don't know.
famed actor, Ronald Reagan. I don't know. Yeah.
So every year, the three tests have the same basis, but they kind of change every year. So the first one is a physical test. The second one is like a problem solving kind of thing. And then the third test is like a mixed bag, horrible version of Would You Rather?
Oh god.
Super duper.
Yeah. So obviously it's
so
super
Joe
dangerous.
Rogan is in this movie for that section, apparently.
Yeah. Well, oh, Fear Factor? Is that what you're going for?
Yeah there you go.
Yeah.
Every contestant has to eat a bowl of scorpions.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then joke's on you because you're nasty and you're back to the poor people.
Yep. So the tests are very dangerous, so obviously it's a hard test to pass, but people are all trying to make it into this lottery because the perks of being in the prestige class are super outweigh all of the danger. Everybody in the prestige class lives to be like 200 years old, and they don't really age, so 200 isn't actually that old for them. And they're, you know, catered to and waited on, and they don't really have jobs, and they just have this super cushy life. So it's totally worth it to try to make it into there.
Sure. So you said dystopian initially, but it's within the realm of possibility that this is what happens in 100 years, the way things are going.
I mean,
do you not think social commentary, Zach?
Like,
wow. We're kind of already getting there, I feel like.
Hopefully this isn't foreshadowing.
The issue is that the working class needs to unite and seize the means of production.
Always, yes. Famously.
Yeah.
Famously.
Viva la revolution, yeah.
So my characters start with Bowie, obviously. So he is the leader of this whole world. So he's like 300 years old because he's super well taken care of. And he has these huge flowing gowns. And he's dressed in all like gold and royal colors. The rest of the rich class all wears pure white because, you know, they don't have to do anything all day.
Sure.
Bowie is super charismatic and likable, despite being the ruler of this horrible world, because he's Bowie, so he just kind of gives off that air, you know.
He is literally a thin white duke in this movie.
Yes.
Maybe a star child, yeah.
Star man.
Ooh, I feel like it's been a few since we sang. Good.
Oh, there'll be much singing later.
Oh, good.
Can't wait. So, Michael Caine, Sir Michael Caine, is the mastermind behind the whole setup of the lottery and the tests and everything. But he's also Bowie's right-hand man and his love interest. So he gets, you know, all of the perks of being Bowie's pet.
Yeah.
Ooh.
And then
Scarlet. Now I'm thinking about Michael Caine with like a collar.
Yeah. So he's a diamond Ooh. Dog.
Yeah.
Oh shit. Wait. And Scarlett Johansson is a revolutionary who lives in Suffragette City.
Oh, sure. Pants, do you know any of these Bowie songs? Probably not.
I don't.
Okay, cool.
We can work on that next.
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay, fair.
So Michael Caine is David Bowie's pet.
Yep. Yes.
Yeah.
So he's the pet and the guy who helps with all of the, you know, the setup of the tests and such. So Scarlett Johansson kind of snuck into the elite class. She's one of the young women who was pulled up into the elite class, and she is a employee of and also mistress to Michael Caine. So he's kind of playing both sides, and obviously Bowie doesn't know about this. But okay. So in the lottery, Hugh Jackman and Christian Bale are two of the four guys who get chosen for the lottery this year.
Oh, I forgot they were in this.
I did too.
It was such a good start. Yeah.
Okay.
They're almost unnecessary at this point.
All
right, cool.
After they're chosen, Scarlett Johansson figures out that she's actually cousins of Hugh Jackman because she was taken as such a small child. She doesn't really know most of her family. But she, you know, they get to talking behind the scenes and everything, and she finds out that he's actually related to her. And then she's like, okay, well, I'm going to try to help you get into the elite class because obviously you're family, even though it would obviously be super dangerous for her to get caught helping a lottery winner.
Sure. Yeah.
Christian Bale's setup story is he is trying to get into the elite class because he lost his daughter to the servant class of the elites. So he's trying to get in there so he can find her and rescue her, and TBD whether stay in the elite class or bring her back down to, you know, the rest of the family.
Yeah, because he could, like, hire her and treat her like a human being.
Right.
Sure. Yeah.
Assuming he makes
it. Yes.
So the first test is the physical challenge. So it's kind of like an old school gladiator fighting a bear kind of thing. Each of the contestants has their own creature, and it's these hybrid monsters that they breed just for the lottery every year. And they have, you know, huge teeth and spikes all over, and they're massive. And of course, to battle all of these creatures, the contestants each get a super weird battle weapon, like a whip or a hacksaw. Or, you know.
that's just going to, like, break in half when you try to use it as a weapon?
Well.
That seems like a bummer one.
It's part of the thing, you know.
Yeah. Luck of the draw. Yeah.
Jenna, I have a question.
Yeah.
For this physical challenge, exactly how much gack is there?
plenty.
Yeah. Now, wait. Can you answer trivia questions to get out of it, or is that not an option?
Is there a double dare afterwards?
How many little orange flags do they have to pull out of the beast that they fight to win?
So many. Perfect.
Yep.
Okay. Sorry. Back to your good. Monster fight.
So all four contestants fight their creatures at the same time in, like, a huge, you know, Greek whatever ring.
Yeah.
The two characters that we're not super following get, one of them gets ripped to shreds over in the corner while all filming is happening. Hugh Jackson.
Like a hybrid sloth / kangaroo / shark.
I like the kangaroo aspect because there's a pouch, and I feel like that has a lot of mystery aspect to it.
Oh, you could be hiding hold, things. Like, a different animal that jumps out and attacks.
Yeah. Also, just kind of like there's a lack of nipples, so there's just like a milk membrane going on there.
I'm not sure how this plays in, but I like where you're going.
I didn't consider the nipples in all of this, but I guess that is important. I mean,
it's really important, Jana, to marsupial.
Can I make a request? One of the characters that like dies early on in this scene, we meet them right before the fight and they talk to either Hugh Jackman or Christian Bale and say, "I feel strong and ready to win my place among the elites," and then they immediately die.
Yeah.
Yep.
Of course.
Yeah.
It's always the
that
cocky
makes for good
ones.
Movies.
Yeah.
Yep.
So Hugh Jackman is busy holding off of his beast. Or he kills his beast, and he then obviously has to deal with the beast who just ate the other character, because they're on a big ring together. So he's kind of doubling down and working on his second beast. Christian Bale ends up getting a huge gash on his leg from his beast, but finally...
Oh, what a loser.
I know. He tried so hard, though. eventually, they team up to kill the rest of the beast. So three of the four make it on to the next round. And Christian Bale's just kind of left with this huge wound on him.
Is the secret to winning all of these challenges teamwork?
No. Oh. It's not like only one person gets to win. Like, all four could make it in, technically. But, you know, if you work together.
I was just going to ask that for a refresher on that rule.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So it's got kind of a Hunger Games thing where, like, it pays off to work together early and then definitely not later, maybe? Or I guess it doesn't matter because they could all
make it. Yeah, they could all make it. So they could team up.
Sure. Okay.
So the next test that the three of them go on to is the psych test. So it's kind of like, I imagine it kind of like an escape room thing where you have to like figure everything out based on clues and you have to just be a little bit lucky.
You get teamed up with like a bunch of annoying people that you've never met because your group isn't big enough.
Yeah, mostly millennials. Yep.
Yep.
They find some woman getting married and make her have her bachelorette party the same night that this is happening.
Yes. There's sashes.
Son of a bitch.
Yeah.
Yeah, got it. Okay.
No, for the escape room, they all do it separately. They all have separate rooms. And then if they make it out in time, if they don't make it out in time, they just get kicked out and they go back to the poor class. But if they make it out in time, they move on.
Wait, they don't get horribly murdered?
No, the shame of not winning is, enough.
So there's not like Cube 2 Hypercube subplot going on in this.
It would seem not.
Okay.
Question mark?
Seth, no one has watched the fucking Cube movies except for you and my friend Kyle, and that's it. That's everyone on Earth.
Damn it, Kyle.
But what about Cube Zero?
Cube prequel? No. Same.
Who could know if that's real or not? Only you and Kyle.
It only exists in your reality.
Uh-huh. All right, that's fair.
All right.
So back to the end of Cube 2 Hypercube.
Yeah. So this is where Scarlett Johansson comes back in because she couldn't help him for the first one, but she wants to help Hugh Jackman, and she, you know, does some digging, tries to come up with some of what the puzzles are going to be and sneak him hints. She gets it totally wrong, of course. And he almost fails, but he recovers and he makes it out. And so all three of them move on to the final round.
Okay. Good suspense.
Yeah.
Seems good.
Yeah. So the final round is the would you rather horribleness. In this year's competition lottery, you can choose to blind yourself, but also bring your immediate family with you to the elite class. Or blind a stranger of the poor class and go to the elite class alone. So
Number two.
Yeah, I do really like my eyes. But, it's tough.
Yeah.
Family's fun, too. I
have beautiful eyes, so whatever.
Yeah, okay. I mean, that's a good one.
What
like
good
it.
is these wonders of the elite class if you can't fucking see them?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you get like weighted. I mean,
I guess. Yeah, and it's all tactile. There's probably a tactile interface, and
probably there's lots of fuzzy stuff to touch.
Yeah, that's some very pleasant yeah. smells, I'm sure.
Yep. Yeah. All that.
Yeah.
Yep. But you don't know who the stranger is the twist. So they could be, like, you have to choose, and then they reveal who it is. So it could be,
oh, yeah, it's,
you know.
It's going to be your family member, of course.
Right.
Or your best friend.
Or a total rando. Yeah. It could be anybody.
Or Gary Busey. Like, I don't know.
Ooh, super win. Double down.
Yep, yep.
I'd blind him twice.
Hey. Gary Busey got into a terrible motorcycle accident and gave him brain damage. It's not his fault that he's so weird.
Yeah, it's true.
Well, I guess, yeah.
Yeah, that, I mean, that's true. That doesn't make up for Jake Busey's acting abilities, though.
Damn it, I was just gonna bring up Jake Busey.
Starship Troopers is pretty good, okay?
I really like Starship Troopers, so...
Me too.
That's
me too.
Nothing
it's because it's a great movie.
Yes. Oh, boy. Okay, sorry. Good.
So, Scarlett Johansson tries to help Hugh Jackman out again by using her connections within the elite class to try to get a chemical or something that only blinds you temporarily. So, it appears that he blinded himself, but obviously it would wear off and he could just, like, pretend.
Right. Oh, that's okay. Good.
But Michael Caine found out that she tried to help him in the escape room. And so he's all pissed off that obviously she's trying to cheat. And, you know, jealous because he doesn't know that he's her cousin. So he's like, why are you helping this younger dude out?
This younger jacked dude.
Yeah.
This Hugh Jackman.
There it is.
There it is.
Yeah, I don't feel great about that one.
No, you shouldn't.
So, for a punishment for her trying to help him in the last round, he lets her think that she's getting away with the temporary blindness chemical, but actually blinds him and makes sure that it's the right chemical. So he chooses that because he thinks he's going to be fine. Turns out, not fine. And after he's actually being incredibly super painfully blinded, she freaks out, and Michael Caine pulls out a gun and shoots him, and is like, this is what you get for trying to cheat the system.
Whoa. All right.
Oh, shit. Okay.
So,
savage.
Hugh Jackman's out. Then...
Maybe he shouldn't have tried to cheat them.
Well, right. Exactly.
It's true. Yep.
So, Christian Bale... He's already struggling from this wound from this crazy monster creature, kangaroo shark thing. And he's like, I'm never going to find my daughter if I blind myself, too. Like, I'm already very disadvantaged. So I'm going to blind a stranger and go to the elite class alone because I'm going to try to find my daughter anyway. So the end of the movie, the end scene, is Scarlett Johansson crying over Hugh Jackman, and Christian Bale is just like stone-faced, ready to go, ready to find his daughter. And the camera zooms in at the end on David Bowie, who's been enjoying this all immensely, and he goes, Gentlemen, welcome to the prestige.
Ooh. Okay.
Nice.
Which is the name of the elite class, obviously.
Yeah.
Right.
Good stuff.
So you set us up for a sequel. Very nice.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's good. That's very good.
And you set us up for the sequel by having a character say the name of the movie right down the barrel of the camera.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Which is...
Yep.
Like you've listened to a few episodes before, haven't you?
I've been paying attention.
Oh, man. There's some definite similarities in there, I would say.
Yeah,
as far as character interactions and stuff like that, yeah. I mean, there's some pretty staggering differences, too. But
I don't know. It's pretty similar to me.
I want a scene in one of the sequels where, like, it ends up being just full pitted, like, class warfare. And when, like, the leader of the lower classes, confronts David Bowie, about his sins and stuff, he just looks at him and he goes, "It's a god-awful small affair." And then, like, kills Christ. Himself. Because that's first line from Life on Mars.
Uh-huh, yep. Uh-huh,
I should have known this would happen doing a Bowie movie. I guess.
I wonder if they've, like, David Bowie has only been in power for 5 years.
Okay.
I don't even know what that one is.
I think the PA like system that he uses to like communicate with the kingdom is called his TCV-15.
Oh, god damn it.
Transmission.
Oh, okay.
Well, let's get some more David Bowie references in here. Yeah.
This is Zach's fault for giving him to me first.
That one's from my favorite Bowie album, Station to Station.
Yeah. Ooh. I know, and so I gave him to you first, and he plays a remarkably small role in the
I figured, thing. Yeah. I knew that was probably the case.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you went with that, an important yet small role, so you nailed it.
Yeah.
No, that's true. That's true.
So, Pants, do you want the IMDb one-sentence summary?
Yes, please.
After a tragic accident, two stage musicians engage in a battle to create the ultimate illusion while sacrificing everything they have to outwit each other.
That's a pretty good one-sentence summary, actually.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, we were talking earlier today about how we should go about summarizing this movie for you.
Yeah. It's hard. Because it's very complicated.
How long is it?
There's a lot going on.
It's like 2.5 hours.
Oh.
Yeah.
It's up there. Mm-hmm. And it's all told in like media res. So it really jumps through time all over the place, which, like, while I think makes it quite engaging and confusing, which is what I like in movies, it also is a little hard to follow. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you feel like you're being intentionally deceived, and then it turns out you are. So,
Okay.
Well, it's a movie about magicians. Of course, they're being intentionally deceived.
Oh, well. Yeah, that's a good point, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To Seth's point, though, I looked up, according to the like some of the IMDb trivia, there are, and I think it's something like so many shots in the movie represent a jump to a different point in the timeline of the story that it averages like one every minute of the movie.
Yeah.
Wow. Shit. Wow. Okay.
So, how do we want to get into this?
So, I could give, like, an incredibly broad version of the story.
Uh-huh. Yeah, yeah, seems good. Go for it.
Bale and Jackman are both, like, up-and-coming magicians. Bale accidentally causes the death of Jackman's wife during a trick, maybe.
Okay.
So yeah. Jackman kind of dedicates his life to, like, mm-hmm. ruining this guy's career slash life. And so we just see this big, long, like, years drawn out, like, rivalry between the two of them that involves one very specific trick that they both keep trying to better each other on.
The transported man is what it's called.
Yeah.
And it ultimately leads to, like, Hugh Jackman's character drowning during an accident on stage, and Christian Bale being hanged for it.
Oh. Wait, when is this set? Is this, like, current time?
This is around the fin de siècle, so it's, like, 1899, I think.
That makes sense.
It's old-timey.
In England, mostly.
Got it.
Yeah, even though everybody's accents are inconsistent.
That was one thing I noticed. All of these people in real life have accents that are in the movie, but nobody had their own accent. They switched them around.
I gotta say, ScarJo's accent was pretty terrible.
Yeah. Bowie's Russian was also not very good.
Yeah.
I was reading, too, that Michael Caine decided not to do his normal voice for this movie for some reason. He did, like, a variation on his voice.
Hmm.
Seems unnecessary almost.
Wait, okay. So he didn't just plug his nose and say my cocaine over and over and over again?
I don't believe he says his name at all in the movie.
Well, try this out at home, people, and see if you can say Michael Caine's name like Michael Caine by plugging your nose and saying the words my cocaine.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Checks out. Yep.
So that's a very, very broad version of the story.
Okay.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
You have to remember that it's like, it's two magicians, so nothing is ever as it seems going on.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Constant there are insanity. Two very, 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 like, big twists that happen that aren't, they're like, they're pretty telegraphed, but, like, they're still very important.
I thought they did a really good job of telegraphing, at least, Christian Bale's, like, thing.
Yeah, for sure.
So it comes down to this trick, the transported man, where, like, you have two doors on a stage, and the magician enters one and then instantly appears in the other.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so everybody is always trying to figure out how to do this, I suppose. Oh boy. Do we just want to go at the two reveals or?
What? Yeah. Yeah. So Hugh Jackman is like obsessed with Christian Bale's version of this trick. And he asks Michael Caine, like, how does he do it? And he goes, he uses a double. He clearly uses a double. And he won't believe him.
Mm-hmm.
So at the end, we find out that he was using a double. He had a twin brother, and they both lived one life.
Yeah, and like,
very sneakily.
Yeah, they like love two different women. And that caused, so like, Christian Bale, number one, loved his wife, Sarah, and she eventually commits suicide because she can't deal with how inconsistent he is. And Christian Bale, too, loves ScarJo. And but they're both trying to live the same life with the same name, but being two different people, obviously.
It's
like, and I think that this particular part of the film is done really, really well.
Yep.
I agree.
Yeah, so, like, for instance, Sarah, Christian Bale's wife, Rebecca Hall, I think is the actress's name, she is always saying, whenever Christian Bale says, oh, I love you, she's like, oh, you mean it today, or no, you don't mean it today, and I can tell the difference. So it's like telegraphing the fact that it's two different people saying that they love her, even though one of them obviously doesn't. And I think it's done really, really well.
It is, and it makes sense in the end because they get at the fact that, like, oh, why don't you just live two separate lives and, like, not be in the same place at the same time? And he's like, no, it had to be a singularity. Like, we had to be exactly the same or, like, the whole facade wouldn't have held up, essentially. So they shared these two women and these two lives, and, it's very, very weird, yeah.
Even the wives didn't know that they had twins, and they'd...
Yeah.
Okay.
Rebecca Hall's character makes a comment in like a scene or two before she kills herself where she's like, I know what you are. I can't live with this anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And she kills herself. And apparently that was an ad lib and she was like worried that she ruined the take, but Christopher Nolan was like, no, it makes it better. It makes it better.
Yeah.
All right.
Not bad. All right.
They do a lot of foreshadowing based on like sleight of hand tricks with birds too.
Yeah.
Because Christian Bale's character, he keeps talking about how a magician has to get his hands dirty, so he prefers versions of these tricks where he like kills a bird and then produces a different one.
Oh.
And Hugh Jackman keeps trying to figure out a way to do this trick without killing a bird in the first place.
Okay.
Yeah.
And it's almost like he needs to create a second bird, which is the foreshadowing for his storyline.
Yeah, yep. So Hugh Jackman at some point gets...
Huge Jacked Man.
Yep, Hugh Jackman at some point gets Christian Bale's diary, which supposedly has all of his secrets or whatever. And it leads him to believe that the reason why Christian Bale's whole, like, magic trick works is he got Nikolai Tesla to build him a magical machine that transports. So he goes to Colorado, where, see, I wasn't aware of this. I didn't realize that Nikolai Tesla had a laboratory in Colorado. I always assumed he was around Niagara, New York. But I guess
I think it was after he got, like, run out of New York during his falling out, but...
Okay, yeah, like, I don't really know Nikolai Tesla's biography all that well, but anyway...
Yeah, I never bought one of those books out of the Things You Know Existed magazine when I was a kid, so, like, how could I know about Tesla?
Yeah.
I only bought those remote controls with a lady with a bikini that you took them off and the volume knobs were her breasts. That's the only thing in there, so,
That's more our speed for sure. Yeah.
Yep, I bought some X-ray specs.
Yeah. How did that magazine stay in business for so long? Like, come on.
Idiots like us, I think.
Yeah, I guess so.
Oh, I had an entire Sea Monkey Kingdom. How? anyway, this diary leads Huge Jacked Man to Colorado, where he commissions Nikolai Tesla to build a transport machine. And beloved character actor Andy Serkis is there, hanging out, being
outstanding
awesome
in this movie.
So good.
He is so good.
So good.
Yeah, and through all sorts of, like, time spent mostly reading Christian Bale's diary, while Nikolai Tesla, who is David Bowie, by the way, I guess we forgot about that.
Okay.
Yeah, that's where he finally comes in. Andy is super weird and awkward, but still shakes hands, which is not a thing Tesla did. But
sounds like you do know a lot about Tesla, Zach. I meant Seth.
Yeah.
Either or.
I mean, I know about how he is a hypochondriac.
Wait, are you two doubles?
Like that.
Uh-oh, he figured our trick out.
Oh, no! How are we in two places at once?
Our magic portal door between our two houses. Shit.
Invented by David Bowie.
Yeah, the best part of my life wasn't this magic portal door. It was meeting David Bowie. It was so good. So good.
I'm so jealous. God.
Eventually, after like a year, Nikolai Tesla makes a machine. Though it's not revealed to the very end what it actually does, but...
Well, they give it away in the opening shot of the movie, actually.
They do. Really? With all the hats, right?
Oh, huh. I guess I wasn't paying attention.
Yeah.
So the movie opens with a shot of, like, a snowy field filled with just top hats.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And we learn that Tesla made this machine. It was supposed to be a teleporter. And they kept thinking it didn't work, but really what it was doing was replicating and reproducing it, like, a few meters away.
Oh.
And that's where the hats come in.
Yeah, they explain, like, oh, it was supposed to replicate right here, but we didn't calibrate it, so it replicated, like, you know, 500 yards that way. And they just didn't notice, I guess.
They didn't notice all the hats?
Yeah.
Apparently, okay. There's, like, hundreds of hats.
Of top hats. Yeah, okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, and then he asks him, like, he tells him, like, don't forget your hat. And he's like, which one is mine? He goes, they're all your hats. So that's, that
ta-da.
Becomes important later, kind of.
Yeah, so the way that Huge Jackman does his transported man is he replicates himself, and there's a trapdoor, and one of the replicants falls, like, somebody, either the original or the replicant, I'm not sure exactly which, falls through the trapdoor and then drowns. And the other one appears at the back of the theater and then to applause and all sorts of things like that. So he's killing himself every single time that he does this trick.
So they're not just replicating cats. They're cloning people.
Yeah, it's him every time.
Okay.
And then they have to kill them and hide them so that the secret doesn't get out. It's very dark. Yeah.
So and he won't let he gets Michael Caine to get him a theater booking and he's like, "Let me help you set up your stuff." And he's like, no, you're not going to be backstage on this one. I don't want you to see how this one works."
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And so he hires only blind stage hands.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Which is a theme that you covered pretty well. Yeah.
Weird. Okay.
Oh, there's a couple other themes that we've left out that you hit, Jana. Like, Christian Bale is maimed pretty early on.
Yeah.
Because he's doing a bullet-catching trick. And Hugh Jackman like fucks with the gun and shoots him on purpose and blows off some of his fingers.
Yeah,
he's also consistently searching for his daughter, which is a pretty big thing.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yep.
Interesting.
So he has a daughter, and while he's I guess we should explain why he's in jail before we get to the daughter.
Sure. It's so complicated. This movie is so complicated.
This sounds like a nightmare, but we're explaining it essentially as it unfolds in the actual movie.
Okay, yep.
It's like, another thing. Yeah.
I'll drop in my three-word summary real quick.
Oh, crap. I forgot to make one. I should do that right now.
You have 2 minutes.
Real fuck convoluted is my three-word summary.
Yeah.
Yep. That's a good one. Sounds like it. That's a very good one.
So one night Christian Bale is like, "I'm gonna go watch him do his trick. I'm gonna sneak backstage and see what the secret is because I can't figure it out for the first time ever kind of thing."
Mm-hmm.
And he sees Hugh Jackman drop below the stage into the thing of water, and he's clearly drowning. So he's trying to smash open the glass case, and it doesn't work, but because he fell too soon or something, there's no replicant that shows up, maybe? Or, like, the replicant...
No, the replicant just didn't appear at the back of the theater.
Oh, that's right. He left. The replicant left. But, like, they hear all this commotion. Michael Cage goes downstairs, and he sees drowned Hugh Jackman and, like, Christian Bale is there. So, like... Hugh Jackman's in court being tried for the murder and
Christian Bale's
and
in Cain court.
Is like he, or Christian Bale, yeah. Okay. See, this is fucking complicated.
Christian Bale 1 or 2?
Well,
we never really know, it turns out. Yeah.
So Michael Caine is like, he had to have moved the case underneath him while he was like backstage.
Okay.
And he murdered him. So while this is all going on, some rich guy is like sends his lawyer to Christian Bale in prison, and he's like, "Sell me all your tricks and I'll adopt your daughter and give her a good life because you're gonna go to jail and they're gonna kill you."
Okay.
And this is when the new reveal happens. The rich guy is Hugh Jackman.
Yep.
Ah.
He was, so and he's been sort he of was, a hidden character the whole time, right? Like, we know of him, it turns we just out don't he know was, who he is.
He was rich the whole time, and he, like Seth said, the replicant appeared, and then he, like, he ran off so Christian Bale would get in trouble, and now he's gonna, like, raise his daughter and watch him die.
Yep.
As revenge for his wife dying.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay.
So, I feel like at this point, I feel compelled to say, we are explaining this as best we can, but I'm excited that it probably makes no sense to you, and you get to watch this with essentially fresh eyes and enjoy it as much as anyone else.
So,
because it's a very good movie.
This also isn't even the end of the movie.
Yeah.
No, yeah.
Big sigh. Okay.
Well, but that brings up an interesting point that I wanted to talk with Lee specifically about, and that was, like, the relative merit of spoilers in this kind of movie.
Yes.
Because One of the things I enjoy in this sort of movies is watching, like, looking for clues to see how well the filmmakers could actually line up the dominoes. So I really don't care about spoilers in this sort of thing, but I think you do.
Well,
and
so
you had this movie spoiled, right?
Right, yeah. Usually I don't care about spoilers. And I had never seen this movie, but I knew exactly what happened because it's 12 years old now, and I
yeah,
heard
pop
a lot
culture.
About it.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. But watching it, knowing what happened, I just thought it was kind of tedious. Like, it was a well-made movie.
Uh-huh.
Wally Chris Pfister Nolan. Was the yeah. cinematographer, and it is beautiful to look at.
Uh-huh.
But, yeah. like, I'm watching it, and I'm not getting any, like... I know what you're saying. Like, if you know what the twist is already, you can look for how well-placed the clues are.
Yeah.
And I'm watching it, and I'm seeing these clues, and it's like... yeah, I guess that's fine. And like, I guess that's all right. And like, I didn't love this movie. I did not.
Hmm.
Yeah. Okay. Seth, do you want to finish this one up or?
No, you should.
Shit. All right. Fine. So, Michael Caine, he ends up going to meet the rich man who bought all these tricks because he wants him to destroy the trick that killed Hugh Jackman.
Right. Yeah.
And that's when he finds out that Hugh Jackman's alive.
Yeah. Lord Cornwall, I think, is his name. And I thought for the longest time his name was Lord Cornrose. And I was like...
odd.
Was this actually meant for Johnny Depp to just be a sight gag?
I would love to see Hugh Jackman in some cornrows, man.
That'd yeah. be great. At the turn of the 19th century, yeah, or 20th century, yeah, that'd be fun.
I feel way like ahead his of character, time. His character in Chappie, was like a heartbeat away from having cornrows. Anyway,
oh, that's true.
Sure,
that
sure,
is
sure.
accurate. Spoilers for Chappie, I guess.
Yeah, Hugh Jackman's in it and has hair, like.
I think that's a Nominally. Movie we actually plan on doing, so yeah, that's pretty good non-spoilers in that case.
So now Michael Caine is all like racked with guilt because he helped testify to send Christian Bale to his death, and Christian Bale was just hanged. So then, yeah. They go to, like, the old theater, and they're going to destroy the replicator machine, but Christian Bale's twin comes in, and that's when we learn that he was twins the whole time,
mm-hmm.
and he shoots Hugh Jackman, and Hugh Jackman ends up dying, and the theater catches on fire, and the end of the movie is Michael Caine has taken in Christian Bale's daughter, and then he, like, does a little magic trick for her, and... Christian Bale emerges from the background. Look, I'm here. I exist. And she's like, oh, daddy, daddy. And the last shot of the movie is just this warehouse full of water tanks full of dead Hugh Jackmans.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's like, who was the real Hugh Jackman? Does it actually matter if it's the copy that's exactly the same? And like,
yeah.
No.
It brings
I wish,
up some interesting points in that regard, yeah.
I just yeah. wish that the ending song had been Daddy by Psy instead of whatever the hell the final song was. But,
I mean...
yeah, yep. Look up Daddy by Daddy. Psy,
oh, yeah.
Dear is, listener. Yes.
Massively upsetting.
I yeah, it. Yeah, I also love it. So
I will say I was kind of surprised. So the Christian Bale 1 or 2, whichever one was in jail, they made it almost look like he was gonna escape the hanging, like a magic trick. Right? It's so obvious.
Right.
So they telescope.
His last words before they hang him are abracadabra.
Right.
Yeah.
So
and so I mean, I guess the foreshadowing there is like. He has the twin and he does actually, you know, come back in a sense because his brother's
right.
still alive. But like, yeah, I don't know. I thought he was going to escape and that would be a happy ending for him because of the injustice that was served there. But Turns out no.
Yeah.
Well, I think I also think the nice thing is the Christian Bale that does survive, they make explicit he was the one that actually loved his wife, so he was probably the actual father of that girl.
Yeah.
Right, right. Yeah.
Yeah, are there like baby daddy issues since both twins were hanging out with both wives? Like, I feel like that
that's
also
what I would think, but that doesn't come up.
Okay.
So well, unclear.
Plus, like right before they hang the one Christian Bale, it's like made very explicit that he also loves this child. So like, there was even more stuff that they didn't get into.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, for sure. Seth, what do you got before we do ratings?
The things that I had in my notes were, of course, Lord Cornrows, which
sure.
Uh-huh. When Hugh Jackman made his copies
unfailing
why didn't they sing a duet together?
Because he is
would have been great. It would have been like, I'm a little bit country, I'm a little bit country. It would have been great.
And then the other one could go, oh, what a beautiful morning.
Yep.
That's where I thought we were going.
And then Oklahoma comes in, and
they could do the 20-minute ballet sequence from Oklahoma just by themselves together.
Went to Kansas City on a Friday.
I bet Nolan would have something to say about that, but oof.
There's a character in Oklahoma who they call Allie Hackam.
Oh, yeah.
He is supposed to be an Arab person. His name is Ali Hakim. That's in Oklahoma, a really famous musical.
Yeah. It sure is.
Oopsies.
And in the movie, he's played by the guy from fucking Green Acres.
Yeah, yeah, that sounds about right.
Famed Muslim actor, yeah.
Yeah, right?
Anyway. So beyond the let's say lack of duets in this movie, which is a detraction for me.
Well, I mean, I don't know, like all of Christian Bale's act is like technically a duet, right?
Yeah, but it's not like singing.
It's a call and response more than a duet.
Yeah,
sure, sure. Mm-hmm. Okay.
We never get to see any clones fuck, which really bummed me out.
Yeah, that's true.
That not is that a, kind of movie. That's true.
That is a major bummer in this movie, or a lack of a bummer. I'm not sure which way we want to go.
God, I hope Chris Nolan listens to this so bad.
What universe do you think that happens?
I hope he listens to this in the comments on the website.
Maybe
like,
Jonathan Nolan listens to this.
Sure. Yeah. Maybe Nolan Ryan listens to this.
Oh. Oh, boy. Out of left field, literally.
We're doing
No, Seth. He was a pitcher.
fuck you. That was a solid baseball goof. Oh, man.
Oh, boy. Anyway.
The other major point that I had was in every magician act, there's, like, the stage man, and then there's the engineer. And my problem was that every time that Christian Bale said the French word for engineer, I thought he was saying Hugh Jackman's, like, character's name.
Oh.
The character's name was Angier, and he was like, hey, where'd you put me, Angier? Oh, did you mean your engineer? No, where'd you put me, Angier?
Oh, man.
I did want to bring up how awful Christian Bale's voice was.
It was
in this
so
movie.
Goddamn confusing. I had no idea if he meant that he was Hugh Jackman's lover, or if there was this other word that I couldn't understand, or which turns out it was the latter.
sure.
Yeah. The less obvious one.
I found it very frustrating every time that Christian Bale opened his, let's say, lumber pile of a mouth.
Full of marbles, that mouth. Yeah.
I don't know if that is his real voice, but if it is, his real voice is fucking awful.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, we discussed. I know he's Welsh,
so I assume his voice is awful. Yeah. But you know,
they are. It's not the prettiest situation they got going on there.
You're
vocally.
Gonna lose all of your Welsh. Yeah. Subscribers.
Oh, let's end every phrase with an upward inflection. Hey, our national plant is a fucking onion. Let's put it on our clothes.
Wow. Really throwing some shade on the Welsh.
Nah, I mean, I feel
how many
Y's
do you have
groups,
in your words? Because we have all the Y's in our words.
Oh, and W's, I hope most of our words have no real vowels.
Oh, they do that, yeah.
The very last
we're
point
have
that
to cut
I had
all of this Wales bashing, by the way.
No,
so.
No.
I bet our no. one UK listener, the Queen, hates Wales, to be honest.
Yeah, that's I bet true. She does. My very one last point was outside of David Bowie's castle, shall we call it? Every time that I saw the danger high voltage signs, I was just going, danger, danger,
yep,
high voltage.
Yep, yep. Oh, such a good band, such a good song, the whole fucking thing.
Oh, when we touch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, when we kiss.
Oh, it's so good.
Oh, I was so happy about that.
Okay.
Yep. Yep. Very good. Very good.
So,
I'm done with my crazy list of bullshit.
Yeah.
That was good. That was good.
I had a couple things. So I wanted to mention, we left this out of our plot summary altogether. Jana, but
cool.
Hugh Jackman, when he is first trying to figure out the transported man trick, he decides, I'll use a double as well. And they hire
this
drunk, out-of-work actor to be his double, and obviously Hugh Jackman plays this character.
Okay.
And I don't know if I've ever seen such a disparity between a quality performance and a terrible performance from one person in the same movie as this.
Yeah. Like, other than probably a Tyler Perry movie, this is very much the worst time I've seen two people play the same actor.
That's a really good call. Yeah.
Or maybe an Adam Sandler flick.
Oh, yeah.
Sure,
I forgot about Jack and Jill. Sorry.
Oh, yeah.
How many characters does Mike Myers play in The Love Guru? Because that movie's pretty rough.
Several. Most.
Yeah, most, I think, is the right number.
But that's true in all the Austin Powers movies, too. And
hey,
at
fuck
least
you.
The first
Austin Powers movie is a treasure.
That's what I was about to say. Give me a damn second. God.
I was gonna say, at least we're all in agreement. We don't have time for that. Oh, dear.
But Hugh Jackman is pretty terrible and pretty great in this movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, that's true.
Absolutely. The only other thing I wanted to mention was this is based on a book.
Mm-hmm.
And the book was initially like optioned for a movie years before it was made. Sam Mendes, the guy who directed American Beauty, optioned it like immediately after he won the Oscar for Best Director. And the guy who wrote the book, which actually won, I think, the Hugo for Best Fantasy Novel in 1995. Yeah.
Wow.
Okay.
Yeah. He was about to like sign the contract when someone like delivered him a VHS copy of Following, Christopher Nolan's student film. Because I guess Jonathan Nolan was interested in making the movie and he was like, my brother could direct it. So he just sent him a copy of this movie and Memento hadn't even come out yet.
Oh. Yeah.
So the author of the book watched Following and he was like, shit, no, I want that guy to make the movie. This guy's going to make my movie.
Called it early. Yeah.
That's a
damn
lucky break.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not
bad.
Also, I read the plot summary for the book and it is totally different.
Weird.
It still deals with like twin doubles and then like replicated doubles.
Uh-huh.
But that's it. Like, like Hugh Jackman's character like survives the movie or the story, and like, but as like a physical version that's dying, and a ghost version that's strong, and the ghost version and the physical version try to merge themselves, but then it doesn't work, and the ghost just lives forever.
Because he's a ghost.
But yeah, as they do.
So, wow, way different.
That's a much less fun ending in having seen the actual one, I think.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Also,
that's very weird.
There's no, like, wife is dead kind of thing and all that. Yeah, that stuff doesn't happen.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Huh.
Yeah, it's they really, like, changed the whole story. But
yeah. Cool. All right, is that should we get to the ratings, or you got?
Yeah, you got? Zach, you have anything to cover, or
no? As I said, I guess off mic, I was cooking when I watched this, so I was mostly just enjoying it. I think I was cooking a Julia Child recipe, so it was rather challenging. Yeah, that's about.
Oh, make sure you put in enough butter, Zach.
Watch those replicants; they'll get you. Yeah.
Yep.
That kind of stuff.
Famous Julia
My
Child
espionage
quote.
Training in World War II would have had me pick out those twins in an instant.
Yep. Those are the ones.
So do we want to just get to ratings?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. Okay. Zach, why don't you go first?
Okay. So Jana's, I think, that was really good. I definitely like this sort of genre where we've covered this before in other ones, like Seth's Murder House 10 sequels thing was kind of similar. Where there's like a distinct challenge or like several challenges that you have to get through, I think is definitely my kind of movie.
Yeah.
And then I like opens up for a sequel, and it's not like good guy automatically wins. There's sort of like a like nobody really wins. I'll go like a solid 7.5 on that one. I think that was really good. As far as Real Prestige, I agree with the populace on this one. I thought it was just dynamite. Like, it's so goddamn good. I'm curious now, Jenna, if you watch it, you have to let us know, like, if having been spoiled, it's like ruined or still enjoyable.
I'll probably still be confused either way. So it'll be like you said, watching it anew. Yeah.
This movie definitely warrants a second watching.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and like you said, Seth, it's fun to pick out the stuff that like you can tell it means something after the fact. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I actually was thinking about watching it after we finished up here tonight again.
Sure, yeah.
I think you should.
Yeah. So yeah, I'm gonna go like a slight win for actual prestige. I'll go like 8 for prestige.
Yeah,
but both very valiant efforts.
The IMDb rating is 8.5.
Ooh,
damn. Okay.
Yikes.
Yeah. Well, it is like top 50
out of 962,000 votes.
Oh my god.
And I still haven't seen it. That's amazing. Really missed the boat.
Well,
it was one of 3 magician themed movies that came out that year.
Edward Norton movie also, and another ScarJo movie. I can't remember what it's called.
It was ScarJo and Hugh Jackman actually in Scoop.
Oh, Scoop! Right.
Weird.
Huh. Yeah.
Which we'll never do on this show because it's Woody Allen bullshit.
Yeah. Nope.
Banned. Well, sort of.
Fuck that guy.
The other movie was The Illusionist, I believe, starring Edward Norton.
Yes.
Uh huh. Yeah. And which Jessica Biel.
Yeah, which I never watched, but.
I recall it being good, but definitely overshadowed by this, I think. Yeah.
Friend of the show, Eva, prefers The Illusionist to The Prestige.
Hmm. Ooh. Well, she also likes Chinatown, so she's wrong.
Yep.
I think, categorically.
Yeah. this movie was better than Chinatown, so I will say that.
Yeah, oh,
absolutely,
doubt.
Yes. Is that your rating on the Chinatown binary scale?
Well, on that scale, sure.
That is my favorite scale.
Everything wins.
So
Seth, would you like to go?
Yeah, so, Jenna, I loves me a good dystopia, as has been well established.
Yeah.
And I also love your kangaroo shark monster. So...
with a surprise creature inside, don't forget. It's like a really scary Kinder Egg.
I was about to say it's like a really fun Kinder Egg.
Yeah.
I haven't had a really Kinder grizzly Egg in years. Kinder Egg. Shit's
yeah, that's because they're illegal in the States. But so for your Kinder Egg movie, I'm gonna give it a I'll be like a 7. All right. Yeah, that's a good number. 7 and 7.
Okay. Cool. Yep.
And as for the real
Seth
prestige,
fart noise. 7. Yep. That's a good number.
Yeah.
Oh, that is my famous quote.
We've got it put on coffee mugs and everything.
And as for the real prestige, I like this movie because it is so convoluted. And so I'm gonna also give it a 7. I think it's even keel here. Okay. Also a 7 and 7.
Nice okay. And fair.
So it's sounds a 7 and 7 and 7 and 7.
Very good.
Oh god.
Lucky number.
That'll get you drunk for sure.
So Lee,
by the
what
way,
is...
new sponsor of the show, Seagram's and 7-Up. They're not sponsoring us together. They're just both sponsoring us.
Yeah, yeah. And we're gonna play that one game. What's up, Spot or whatever it was.
Heads up, 7-Up.
Heads up, 7-Up. Yeah.
Yeah. No. There was the video game with the Spot.
Oh
shit, I remember that.
Yeah.
Also, tune in next week when our guest is Orlando Jones, the 7-Up yeah. guy.
Yep, make it 7-Up sure. yours.
Sure. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Well, anyway.
So many deep cuts. Anyway, Lee, how would you rate these movies?
Actually, there are at least 2 Orlando Jones movies on our master list of movies to do right now. So,
yep.
Yeah. Is I'm excited one of for them, both of them. The Replacements? Because that's the only one I care about.
Oh, that's
yeah,
a very
that's
good
one.
One
of them.
Oh, yep. Really? Oh, shit. Yep. I can't wait until we have to watch The Replacements, because that is one of my all-time favorite movies.
It's so good. He's very good in it, too. Yeah.
So weird about you, based on everything else I know about you. But...
Yeah, that's true. That's a good point. That's very true.
Yeah, that is a good point. Anyway,
so
as for Le Prestige.
Yeah. Oh, you know what we never mentioned?
No.
It's called The Prestige because every magic trick has 3 parts. And the reveal to the audience is called The Prestige.
Oh. Uh-huh.
The ending part is The Prestige.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. It's the surprise.
Got it.
It's kind of meta.
Surprise, Jana.
Yeah, I guess this is our prestige.
Nailed it.
Yeah, is explaining what a prestige is.
Woof. We're the worst.
So for the real movie, I thought it was fine. 6.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's such a review. Yeah. That's so weird.
Yeah, like... Hugh Jackman, I liked a lot in it for the most part. Andy Serkis was wonderful in his small role.
Uh-huh.
I just, I didn't love it. Jana,
sure.
Your movie sounded awesome. It sounded really, really dope. And it set up a series, and one thing I've learned from all these like dystopian, vaguely YA themed series is I love the second movie the most always, and that's yet to come.
Yeah.
So 8.
Interesting.
Oh.
8. All right.
Yeah, you solidly win.
Yeah. Huh. Well, so that's an aggregate win then. Well done. Okay.
Thanks, guys.
You defeated a top 50 IMDb movie. That's like unprecedented, I think.
Yeah, I had low expectations for my comparison, but this is great, guys.
Yeah, very well done.
Yeah. Well, you very ticked cool. off all the boxes for me. You yeah. had Michael Caine in a dog collar. Yep. You had weird animals.
Yep.
Yeah, yeah.
You had things. A character staring down the camera saying what the name of the movie was.
Uh-huh. Yeah, David Bowie yeah. references.
That character was David Bowie, and he yeah. did it as a prestige.
Uh-huh. That's true. That all checks up.
Yeah. Yep. That's everything. That's everything.
Yeah. Yeah.
If every movie could be that, I mean, come on.
So, yeah. Yeah, I guess, Jenna, you did a really strong showing.
Thanks, guys.
Very well done. Yeah,
much appreciated.
Yeah. all right, so next week we got Seth doing a movie I'm almost certainly picked called Legal Eagles.
This movie is real. This movie is real.
I mean, I looked it up. It is extant, but just barely. Just
so
I am excited because like, the cast is amazing.
The cast yeah. is superb, yeah.
So a little like view into our like nuts and bolts here. We have this master list of movies that we want to at some point do. And when I'm at work and can't get to the list, I just shout at Zach over my phone to add movies.
Or me. I'm there too sometimes.
Yeah.
Or Seth. Yeah, sometimes Seth as well, yeah. Mm-hmm. And when I got home after I suggested we do Legal Eagles, I looked at the list and it had been entered as Legal Eagles - a movie that Lee clearly made up.
Yep, that was me. I did that.
This movie's real, motherfuckers, and Seth is going to do it next week.
Yep, yeah, so... Yeah.
Seems fun.
Strap in, dear listener, for something really hard to follow.
Yeah, excellent.
Perhaps our second Lord of the Rings-themed movie pitch?
Oh,
or...
please no. Oh, please no.
Why did you put that little ear... worm into my head because I
oh no
definitely it's gonna have to be a super convoluted Lord of the Rings story now. Thanks.
Imagine Sauron gets brought to court and the eagles are the prosecutors.
it's a Lord of the Rings as a comedy. I might be into that. That could work.
Oh man.
Oh dear. All right. Well, Pants did it real good, but Seth does it real well and might be out let next week. We'll see.
Fair.
We will see about that, Zach.
Ground control to Major Tom.